And a lot of people want to pick and choose. You know, I see people every single day complaining about AI. Lots of authors complaining about AI. AI stole my content. You know, Meta AI was trained on my book. I looked up the list. I had 3 books used as training. And I'm like, hell yeah, that's right. Because I wrote those things so the world would consume it. I'm coming from a place of abundance.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. I have a dear old friend and a legend in the field that truly has helped me shape in the way that I show up for sales. Some of the work that he's done, both in sales training and, funny enough, in the swimming pool retail business, which is family business that we have, he has actually created some guides and notebooks that refer to that industry. We've been applying a lot of his concepts within the family business that works so effectively, whether that's sales strategies, marketing strategies, social media, content marketing, you name it. He is the sales line. Marcus Sheridan, joining me today, has written multiple books. They Ask, You Answer, which is the philosophy, which we'll speak about a little bit on the podcast today, but I think we'll go even deeper on his latest book that's just been released, which is Endless Customers, a proven system to build trust, drive sales, and become a market leader. So regardless of the size of business that you have, these are going to be some principles you want to apply. And the fact that this book has just come out knows that it does include a lot of the innovations that are happening in the world of AI and all this tech that's coming out. And you'll see that you are more powerful than ever to be able to get people's attention, convert them into sales, and have some fun doing it. Marcus, welcome to the show.
Yo, Jason. So happy to be here, man. I think we're going to have a great conversation, one that ideally is full of takeaways, right? Because that's always the goal, that we don't just hear, but we take action. I think that's the mark of a good learning experience.
Yeah, well, I know we're going to have some fun. And first off, like philosophy-wise aligned, like you're always about giving value, giving content, giving information. And it's almost where I want to start here, because I have a feeling, particularly when you first started being someone that put together a lot of information up front. I know one of the most controversial things you spoke about is you would share prices of your services and intangible goods up front online, when a lot of people would have, we can't share prices, competitors will know prices, you can't share all information, then people will do business without you. And that's really one of the first myths I feel that you busted out there, and it did very good to the market. And I'd love to maybe start there and elaborate on why was this such a good move to the market?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a great place to start, because frankly, I have been speaking and teaching about how to discuss cost and price online for the better part of 15 years. And I've got more data than anybody in the world on this very subject. You know, I'm pretty passionate about it, obviously. It really came from just my quick background for those that don't know. I started a pool company called River Pools in 2001, almost lost the business in 2008 because the market collapsed. And it was during that time I started to really learn about things like inbound marketing, content marketing. And I said, well, we've got nothing to lose. And why don't we become the best teachers in the world when it comes to fiberglass pools? And that was the commitment, that we're going to become the best teachers in the world when it comes to fiberglass pools, the Wikipedia of pools, if you will. And I said, I think this will help us save the business. And so I took all the questions that I have ever been asked about pools. And of course, the number one was, how much does a fiberglass pool cost? And up to that point, nobody online, literally in the world, had addressed that question. And so if you look at the psychology of cost and price, let's just look in the mirror for a second. If you're a buyer, right, and you go on a website and you're looking for cost and price information, you can't find it. Well, what's the emotion you experience? You get frustrated. And the reason you get frustrated is because, well, you're the buyer and you're trying to make a buying decision and they're making it very hard on you. So in that moment of frustration, you don't sit there and say, oh, I'm just going to keep on looking on this website until I find it. No, you leave pretty quickly. In that moment of frustration, you don't say, well, I guess I'm just going to call the company and ask them how much it is. Nope. You keep searching until you get the answer that you were looking for. And generally speaking, whoever gives you the answer that you were looking for, they're going to get your business. Now, that is the way it is for 99% of the people that are listening to this right now. Yet, if I ask most of the people, well, do you talk about cost and price on your website? Most are going to say no, but, and they're going to tell me the reasons why they can't. Now, there's 3 major reasons why most businesses say they can't discuss cost and price online. The most common, of course, is Every job is different. It's a very customized solution, right? To that, I would always say this. If I was talking to you, Jace, I'd be like, okay, so can you help me understand the factors that drive the cost of your product or service up? You could explain that. Could you help me understand the factors that would keep the cost down? Could you help me understand why some companies in your industry are so much more expensive? Can you help me understand why some companies are so much less expensive? And then could you give me a sense roughly for where do you fall? Now, the sad thing is, oftentimes, we like have to answer that question, but it's not until they ask. And by that point, we've lost many on that buyer's journey. So that's the first reason why so many companies don't talk about it, because they say it depends. The second reason they say they don't want to talk about it is because they're like, well, we tend to be more expensive. And if we're more expensive, we might scare the prospect away. But what we know for a fact, Jace, is the thing that scares people away isn't when you are honest and teach them value, or i.e. pricing information. The thing that scares people away is when you completely ignore the dang subject. That's what scares people away. That's what scares the buyer away. That's what scares you and I away. I mean, imagine going to a restaurant, opening up the menu, there's no pricing on the menu, right? How are you feeling in that moment? Not so good, same psychology. And the third reason why we don't like to talk about cost and price is we have this dumb story that we tell ourselves, which is, I don't want my competitors to see it, which is really silly because anybody that's listening to this has a pretty good sense as to what their competitors charge, and they've got a good sense as to what you charge. This is the big secret, non-secret, right? And so that's what's so wild about cost and price. And to make a long story very short, we were the first company to really address this through text and video on our website at Riverpools. And that first article that I ever wrote about how much does a fiberglass pool cost, I've tracked all the sales that came from that singular article. So the leads that started on the website on that page. That article has led to over $35 million in sales that we would not have had had we not been willing to address the question. And we never said exactly what it costs.
So the thing is you're educating on the price. It's not about like put your price up and then don't explain anything, because that would be maybe the misconception of this advice.
That's the whole key. Yeah. In fact, that's the thing that commoditizes. What commoditizes a product or a service is a lack of information. When there's not enough knowledge in the marketplace, what happens is people will choose the cheapest thing, right? That's commoditization. Whereas when you educate the marketplace and they're like, oh, okay, so you're 20% more, but the reason for this is you do X, Y, and Z. It's like, oh, that makes a ton of sense. Of course I should do that. Of course I should buy that. I'd be a fool not to spend the additional 20%, right? So like, this is the way that it works. Now, what happened with Endless Customers is the main book everybody knows me for is They Ask, You Answer. Endless Customers is the third iteration of it. And I changed the title based on where we are today with AI and the world that's happening. And in the book, we give four pillars of a known and trusted brand. If you want to become the most known and trusted brand in your market, there's really four pillars. Well, the first major one is you got to be willing to say online what others aren't willing to say. Price, man, that's one of the majors that still to this day, over 90% of all companies, unless they're e-commerce, don't discuss cost and price, which is crazy, dude. I had a team member just today, literally today, they sent me a snapshot or like a screenshot of an interaction they had with a SaaS company. This SaaS company refused to give any pricing, any range, anything unless they had a demo. And it just pissed my team member off because she's like, I'm just trying to get a gauge. And you see, this is what a lot of people don't understand. When you get on a buyer's journey, literally the first question you and I have on the buyer's journey, when we know we have a problem and we need to buy something, the first question is roughly how much does this cost? And if you can't get an answer for that, what happens oftentimes is that's a choking point. It's a bottleneck and you don't feel like you can continue with your buyer's journey until you get that addressed, until you get it alleviated. Now, one of the things that we talk about in the book, which is the third pillar of a known and trusted brand, is like aligned with this, Jason. That is, you got to be willing to sell in ways others aren't willing to sell. And of course, we can do a deep dive on this, but one of the biggest ways that you can do this is by embracing a megatrend that's going to be affecting every business going forward, especially service-based businesses, which is Gartner came out with a stat recently that said 75% of all buyers would prefer to have a seller-free sales experience. So I'm going to repeat this for effect. 75% of all buyers say they would prefer to have a seller-free sales experience. It's like, what does this mean, right? Well, it doesn't mean that we hate salespeople. What it means is we don't want to talk to a salesperson until we are confident, comfortable, and we feel like we're not going to make a mistake. And so You have two choices as an organization. You can complain about this, kick against the pricks and say, oh my gosh, I just wish it was the way it used to be. Or you can take advantage of the trend. The smart companies always take advantage of the trends versus complaining about them. The way you take advantage of it is through what's essentially I call in the book self-service. And there's five fundamental types of self-service tools. These are interactive tools that generally are on one's website, but they can also be online, that allows someone to get an answer or to take an action that previously they would have had to have done by speaking with a human. But instead of speaking with a human, they're able to do the thing without having to go through that hoop. And so there's five examples. I'll just give a couple of them, if I may. The foremost one is a self-pricing tool. A self-pricing tool, also known as an estimator. This is not a quote tool. It's an estimator, but people love it. So this is essentially how it works. If I came to you right now, Jason, I said, how much would it cost to hire you? You'd say, well, I need to ask you some questions first. And you'd ask me a series of questions that would gauge where I was, what my needs were, my problems were, the parameters of those problems. And then based on that, you would say to me, okay, Marcus, so based on what you just told me, I would expect you'd be somewhere in this range. And I'd say, okay, cool. Let's take the conversation further, right? That's how it works. That's how it works all the time. And so the same thing can happen on your website with the same questions through a pricing estimator. And what's so fascinating is last year I started a software company called PriceGuide.ai. What this does, it allows organizations to quickly, easily, and very cost effectively put a pricing estimator on their website with the help of AI. And so the AI helps you build the tool very quickly. And now you've got this working estimator that asks them a series of questions. So for example, if it was a swimming pool, they might say, are you looking for a large, medium, or small size swimming pool? Are you looking for a heater? Are you looking for a cover? Are you looking, what type of patio you're looking for? How much square footage of patio? Stuff like that, right? And so by the end of that, those questions, it's going to give you a range. So why is this so powerful? Well, now that I have so much data, because I've got hundreds of companies that are already using the software, it's so powerful because the average company gets 300 to 500% more leads than they were previously getting. Now, the key, though, is that you put it on your homepage as one of your major calls to action. You know, you might see, gosh, man, I see sometimes on homepages, you got like five call for quotes on one homepage, which, by the way, today call for quote is like the middle finger of the internet. So you got like five of those on the homepage. Instead of that, you have a call to action that says, get instant estimate, get instant estimate. And boom, people just flock right to it, answer a series of quick questions, and then they get a range. In exchange for that range, they give you an email. Now you can build your database. I was the first manufacturer in the world to do this with my swimming pool company. And that tool alone during the summer will get 1 to 200 leads a day. 1 to 200 sales qualified leads a day. It's pretty extraordinary. I've had multiple companies within the first 30 days of putting this on their website. They're like, I have literally made like thousands and thousands of dollars from this, Marcus. It's crazy. It's wild. And a tool like Price Guide costs $200 for the entire year. $200, usually you pay for it in the first day or two that it's on your website. I'm serious about that. And that's why it's so fulfilling to create something that's impacting so many businesses. Last thing I'll say about this, and I'll shut up because I'm not giving you a chance here, Jason, is I believe within the next 5 years, 90% of all service-based businesses are going to have some type of working pricing estimator on their website. I think it's going to be table stakes. Everybody's going to have it.
Well, I won't stop someone on a good roll sharing some great information. And I'm taking note of this tool, man. That sounds epic. And like whenever somebody's trying to get some value, if they're at the buyer journey where they're like, they're a qualified lead, they're looking to purchase, like that's the low hanging fruit, how to capture that lead. This seems like the best thing to do. And so that seems very obvious, but you also do stuff where it's like, you don't just capture them the moment that they're ready to buy and they want to get some estimates. You capture some people that might be just thinking about making the decision. And that's like, you're nurturing leads way before they even having buying intent, which makes you, again, a trusted advisor in the process.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if you use an estimator tool, you get them earlier than you did before. You get them later than you did before. The problem is, if you really think about it, having only like on, let's say your homepage, call for quote or call for pricing. If that's the only thing you got, it's like somebody walked into the bar, they sat next to you and you immediately said, like without any conversation, would you like to go home with me? That's really what's happening. And generally, you need to build up to that point. You need small talk, and then you need depth of conversation. Best way to do that is through these interactive experiences, these self-service tools. Let me give you a couple other ones. One specific to sales that is crazy, Jason. I think when you hear this, you're gonna be like, freak, man, that's freaking bad A. And that is, I've been running these experiments. And what we have found, when you create a self-scheduling tool that has a selection option, and I'll explain it, it completely revolutionizes the sales process. And what I mean by that is, oftentimes in the sales world, for someone to talk to a salesperson, they have to fill out a form, and then they get a call, and then they're given a salesperson to work with. Well, what we've seen is, if you have a tool on your site where they can literally schedule it themselves, but they can choose who they want to work with. So just imagine for a second. Let's say you're in Bali right now, Jason. You're just like, okay, I think I'm going to sell my home, you know, and I'm going to contact a realtor. You go to a real estate agent's website. And on that website, there's 7 realtors that you could choose from, like that they have available there. You get to see their faces. You get to read their bios. You get to watch a video about each one. And then you get to choose who is your realtor. Would you prefer that, or would you just prefer to get the luck of the draw, right? Everybody says, I would like the choice, because we all want to be in control. What's so interesting about these interactive tools, and by the way, when you do that, we've seen across the board, different industries, closing rates double every single time when they can choose their own salesperson. It's like you choose your own adventure. Now, what's the reason? The reason is because of this concept that you're familiar with called sunk cost fallacy. And essentially means the more time somebody spends invested in someone or something, the harder they try to make it work, right? And so just like, you know, if you spend a ton of money on some crappy meme coin, right? And you might say, geez, I can't sell now because I've got, you know, $500,000 into it. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's still only worth $10. I know, but I've got so much into it, I can't sell. That's sunk costs. It makes us stay in relationships longer sometimes than we should. But if someone is spending, investing time in essentially choosing you and working with your business or even learning from you, all of this means every piece of content they consume from you and every interaction they have with you before they even meet you increase sunk costs, which means they're going to try to find a way to work with you before they work with anyone else. This is extremely powerful, and it works really, really well. One last interactive tool I'll tell you about for self-service is what we call self-selection tools, or essentially recommendation tools. So let me give you an example of this. Let's say you went to my swimming pool website. We sell fiberglass pools, but there's also concrete pools out there, and there's vinyl liner pools. So there's 3 types of in-ground pools. We only sell one type. So you can essentially take a quiz on the site, assessment, if you will, that gives a recommendation based on your answers as to what type of pool you should get. Every single day we have people take it, and every single day we have a multiplicity of people whereby we say to them, you should not buy fiberglass, you should buy concrete, or you should buy vinyl, which sounds crazy to people because we're literally telling them we're not a fit. But what it does, it creates an incredible amount of trust. And really, trust is the name of the game. Sales, marketing, brand, that's the world that we all have to live in. And if you want to be recommended by humans and you want to be recommended by AI, because that's the future of so many businesses, whether they realize it or not, that AI, if they're not recommending you, you're going to be screwed. You have to send out to the world a crap ton of trust signals. And the way you do that is providing experiences like I'm talking about right now. Yes, there's other signals too, like the reviews that they're leaving about you, or every interaction that might be on a piece of content of yours, or every piece of content you might produce. These are all potentially trust signals. But the whole idea is that you're building a deeper repository of trust signals for AI to consume so that they recommend you, so that they say, this is the company that you should deal with. You know, when we started with AI, it was a creation tool. It's like, oh, it can make poems. Isn't that nice? And suddenly now, it's a massive recommendation tool as well. And that's why you cannot build your house on Google. You cannot build your house on Google Search or just on Google Paid because that house is not built to last. It might work today, but it's not going to work tomorrow. And so you have to be prepared for what's happening. The shift is on, and everybody's going to be moving towards AI, where there's not sponsored ads and there's not some, you know, traditional algorithm. It's going to be based on quality and trust signals, and you better be ready for it.
Damn.
I got to share this one story, which, well, first off, I just want to acknowledge that I'm taking notes on everything you're saying right now, because all of those seem very applicable. And I might want to stress this, and you can confirm the fact that deploying these are easier than ever. Like, tools off the shelf can deploy this like in a day.
Heck yeah, bro. Right? A tool like Price Guide literally can be up and working on your website in 30 minutes. 30 freaking minutes, dude.
It's like a golden age, because like, you've been in the industry for like 20 years, right? So like, I remember in the early days, going back to 2008, like, tools were clunky. You had to have a bit of that genius side of you on the tech front to be able to put that stuff together. That is no longer the case. Like, the tools I get shocked by the simplicity of tools now, that I'm just like, oh, this is amazing.
Well, and not only that, but it's kind of like, you're old enough to remember this, I think, Jason, is that it's like when VCRs came out, they were like $1,000. And then eventually they got to the point where they were like $100, and now they don't exist, right? It's like the days of Salesforce and HubSpot, two companies I love, are coming to an end. And what I mean by that is that model. You know, it's not uncommon for a business to spend $5,000, $10,000 a month on these types of tools. But if you look at the new tools that are coming out that can do what the Salesforces of the world or the HubSpots of the world do, we're talking $100, $150 for like some crazy freaking robust do-it-all for you tool. $150 a month. That's crazy. And that's where it is. It's like, in the future, you will not find a piece of software that costs you more than like $100, $150 a month. And it can like seriously like make rocket fuel out of dirt. I mean, that is where we're headed, dude. And it's like it's becoming quickly the golden age of software value if you're a business.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And quite frankly, you see this across multiple industries. Like, I just want to give a little tip my hat to the gaming industry, where you have these big studios used to be the only ones able to pump out like amazing games. Now you have these small teams putting together these amazing things. And it's just that the tools have made it so that you don't need to have massive budgets, massive teams, industry knowledge to bring out something that is great for either the consumer or for the businesses. And the software industry is following the same trend, because all these sales forces have so much legacy. They have a lot of things they need to do to change. It has to affect so many customers, so they can't move as fast. You got these guys coming out with fresh code that's just kicking butt, man.
Yeah, it's bad to the bone, dude. It is a very, very exciting time to be alive. Now, there's a lot of naysayers and doubters, but you know, that's what happens. There's essentially four stages of innovation resistance. Are you familiar with those four stages?
No, okay, please.
Heard about Jason.
Probably in some other parameter, but I think this will be great.
But I think it's incredibly fascinating, and you're seeing a lot with all things AI right now. But essentially, here's the four phases. Stage one is they ignore you, okay? So whenever there's change resistance, for example, let's look at Airbnb. At first, they were ignored by the hospitality industry. This is like, it wasn't even on the radar. Ha ha, like ridiculous. Paid no attention. So that's phase one. They ignore you. Now, the second phase is they laugh at you. They laugh at you. And so these hotel chains, they see the concept that's Airbnb, and they're like, that's ridiculous. The taxis see the concept that is Uber, and they say, that's ridiculous, right? People try this thing called ChatGPT, and it makes a few mistakes, and they laugh at it, and they say, that's ridiculous. It sucks, right? See, that's phase two. And phase two really traps a lot of people into this false thinking. And then they get screwed because they stop progressing at that point. Now, stage three is after they've ignored you, the competition or the market, and after they've laughed at you, once the whole market starts to respond, now they fight you. So this is why Airbnb got sued by many that were in the hospitality space, fought like legal battles. Tesla fought all these legal battles. Uber fought all these legal battles. So that's always phase three. They fight you. And phase four, because the market loves you, you, the disruptor, win. And that's what happens. You win. And so that's what's going to happen with AI as well. AI is going to become the most fundamental part of our working existence. It's going to be another form of energy. It's like electricity. And that's the only thing that I could compare it to in terms of impact, you know, on the world. And what's interesting is if you look at this, we've seen this stuff recently as well. I mean, in 1997, there was this thing called electronic mail that became mainstream very quickly. And I say quickly, over the course of a few years, tons of salespeople at the time said, I'm never going to use that. I'm only going to do nose-to-nose, face-to-face. We heard that. How'd it work out for those salespeople? They're all using electronic mail now, or they got left behind, right? Because that is how it works. I learned a long time ago to not allow my personal opinions to screw up smart business decisions. But you see it all the time. You're like, yeah, that's not my thing. I don't like it. Well, you see, when you get in the world of sales, what you signed up for was to meet the market where the market is. That's what you signed up for. So your personal opinions at this point don't really matter. My personal opinions as a business owner, they don't really matter. What matters is where's the world headed? And I can see where it's headed. And it ain't going to fax machines. I'm going to tell you that right now. And so I'm going to make sure that I'm on the train. In fact, I'm going to make sure that I can get in front of this. Yeah, the people that say, well, what if this is like the Terminator? What if it's the end of the world? Well, okay, let's assume that it is. At least I want my business to be very successful between now and the end of the world. All right. And we're going to crush while we can.
Let's go.
Because that's within my circle of influence. You know what I'm saying? Right.
No, you can't do anything so if the outcome.
Within your circle. Like, that's what I'm going to roll with. I'm not going to sit here and like change whether or not China is using TikTok appropriately or, you know, their DeepSeek or this. I'm not going to change that. So what can I change? I can change my habits, my behaviors, my businesses, and how we roll. And that's what I'm focused on. And yeah, I'm going to share my message. And that's all within my circle of influence. But the rest of it, it's like, it is what it is. And I'm not saying, by the way, I think we got on the other side of all this, I think there's abundance, actually. I really do. I believe that, you know, quite fully. And a lot of people want to pick and choose. You know, I see people every single day complaining about AI and, you know, lots of authors complaining about AI. AI stole my content. You know, Meta AI was trained on my book. And I'm thinking to myself, I looked up the list. I had three books that Meta took and they used as training. And I'm like, hell yeah, that's right. Because I wrote those things so the world would consume it. And I am part of the solution. I'm coming from a place of abundance. Listen, I can't sit here and ask AI to cure cancer, which it's going to do, and at the same time complain that it's using my book to teach the masses when any other person can also read the book and teach the masses. It can just do it better than a single person can do it. So why am I going to complain about that? Now, those that want to complain about it, that's their right. That's fine. But I don't roll like that, man. And I just see such a beautiful time to be alive. And I know you can say this too, Jace. I feel freaking superhuman these days. You know, you sit down in the morning and you got like three AI like projects going on at one time and you like hit go and you like let it go think for 5 minutes. You open up another window. You got this other AI project that you're working on. Boom, you hit go. You let that one fly. It's doing some other creation for you. And you're just saying, dude, all these incredible assistants working for me, it's amazing. I got like, you know, 27 EAs working for me at one time right now, and it cost me $20 a month. Get the heck out of here, right?
It's absolutely mind-blowing. And yeah, definitely, like the types of things I output in a single day, like if I have one day hyper-focus like on it, I get 2 weeks worth of work done in a day. It's insane. And so like for me, it's just like finding yourself the reason to do that stuff, the direction, the purpose, which is a lot of the other stuff. But I want to insert this quick one before we move forward because AI I've been using so much. I love it. And what happened to me the other day was the most like, oh my God, it's happening for real, because it happened to me is I got on a sales call with a lady. So she had watched my trainings. She had actually donated to a charity. I was doing a charity run. She donated to get a chance to get a sales call with me if she donated a certain amount. So I jumped on a call and I'm like, so how'd you find out about, are you like a listener to the podcast? She was like, oh, I didn't know you had a podcast. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, that's one of the main way people find me is like, did you read my book? She's like, yeah. I was like, how did you know about the book? She's like, I was asking ChatGPT what book to recommend if I wanted to sell. And it recommended my book. And I'm like, holy shit, this is the new SEO. And so like one of the questions I'd have is, have you become very aware of that next frontier of AIEO or AI optimization?
Yeah, I'm just calling it AI recommendations right now. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's the future of the future. That's why I'm saying like you can't build your house on Google. AI recommendations is the future of search. If you're not being recommended by AI, you're going to be screwed, because in the past, if you look at it for 25 years, all we had to do was make sure we kept our customers happy and we were recommended by Google, and you could have an extraordinarily successful business. Now, when I say recommended by Google, there's two ways that we could do that, essentially. One, SEO. Two, paid ads. What happens, though, when you can't rely on either one of those two? Somebody might say, well, Google's not going anywhere. Of course they're going somewhere. They're a platform. Platforms come and go, right? That's what they do. And if you look at Google right now, and you look at the search experience sucks, because what do you got to do? You got to wade through a ton of crap just to see oftentimes what is the first organic search result. They might give you an AI answer. They might show a multiplicity of sponsored searches. I did a search today on an AI tool. This was crazy. I think it was Firefly AI. I was learning about Firefly. On the search results page, there was one organic result sandwiched between two sponsored searches. Think about that. So on the page one organic search result sandwiched between two sponsored searches, as well as, I think you saw an AI summary, you saw a bunch of other just sponsors results, and you saw some videos. I think you saw some freaking Reddit, right? And like, this is what you're seeing now. Used to be that whoever was first in SERP's results would get 82% of all the clicks. Today, you're getting less than 25% of the clicks if you rank one on Google, because, geez, over 50% of all searches end in a non-click. So the whole zero-click phenomenon is taking off too. Because for, you know, it used to be that they would always click a blue link. They wouldn't get their answer. Now they're getting their answer right then and there. And folks, this is the future. This is why you got to build a known and trusted brand. And this is why, you know, Jason's been on his pod for freaking 7 years, pumping out great content, writing books, because you're constantly creating signals, right? Signals that say, this guy is an expert and he's an authority in the world of sales. And that's how we all have to be thinking at this point. And I'm not saying it's easier. I mean, I wrote a post about this on LinkedIn today about, you know, 10 ways to dramatically improve AI's desire to recommend your content. And it was pretty like niche specific stuff. And I wrote it from the context of what a blog article used to be versus what it is today, like top level. It's night and day, dude. I mean, it is night and day, but it's the game that we're in. And so, hey, we have to play, or we're just not going to be successful. But yeah, it's very, very much changing. It's all based on trust signals. They matter a lot. They are everything.
I think this would be a relevant time. I'd want to ask about some of the biggest places people are maybe putting time and energy when they're just getting started in business that might actually just not be an effective way of spending your time. Like, because there's a lot of advice that could be 5 years old where people says, you should be doing this, you should be doing that to be successful. And I feel like some of these might be expiring or need to be approached differently. I don't know if you have that on top of your head. That'd be easy to make sure people are directed towards better outlets.
And that's an incredibly interesting question, Jace, because look, even though for example, if you look at Endless Customers, the book, it's an entire system to become a known and trusted brand. It talks about your website and it talks about your content. It talks about all this stuff. But the truth of the matter is, reality is, you could just say right now, I'm only going to do one thing. I'm only going to produce video on LinkedIn. That's it. I'm going to do that aggressively. I'm going to do it every day. That's my one commitment. I'm going to do it like rain, snow, sleet, or hail. And doing that is actually much smarter than if you're a solopreneur and you just try to spread yourself across every major platform from the beginning. Now, eventually, you'll spread out as you scale your business. But there's just no way that you're going to do that well at first, because you can't serve multiple masters from the beginning. So it doesn't work like that, you know, and so many people have tried. Most of them fail. The only ones that somewhat succeed early on are the ones that have a really big team behind them. So if that's not you, it's like, how can I get the biggest bang for my buck and for my time? And generally what we're seeing right now is either video or podcasting is that. And ideally, even a hybrid of both, right? Which is essentially what you're doing, Jace, right? It's like, you know, a hybrid of the two. And this is a really, really smart way for you to optimize things. Because not only are you building your audience with your pod, you're creating a ton of trust signals. You're also building your network really well, right? With all the people that you've met from it. So it's like it does all these things. You're killing multiple birds with one stone. And I think that's the key when you're a smaller shop is to be incredibly efficient in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I think about that gets me more and more excited about how I'm hosting this podcast is like I have this repertoire of transcripts of information with amazing people that's just being fed into all these data points, right? And to me, it's like if I can keep feeding data points of quality conversations, quality answers to questions, quality, you know, ways for people to consume, it's like, Marcus, based on the question I asked, it seems like we don't have to change the advice from 10 years ago. It's just, it's more relevant than ever now because we've been talking about pick your beachfront, produce content, show signals of trust in the marketplace. Like, it's like, guys, you've waited 10 years to get started, but guess what? Those who started 10 years ago are getting even more of a beachfront or more of a moat around their success because they've started. So why aren't you starting? Like, it's just more imminent than ever that this works.
Yeah. And I think what's happening is the importance of a personal brand is greater than it's ever been. And brand is going to be that calling card of success as we go forward. And unless you're putting yourself out there in some type of public way on a public platform, it's going to be incredibly difficult to do this. And you can't sit there and say, well, I want to be a business owner. And I want to take people's money in exchange for a good or service and not give them every reason to trust me. It just doesn't work like that, folks. And so you have to go through that uncomfortable period of doing the thing, embracing the messy that comes with it, whether that's video or whether that's having your own podcast or whether that's, you know, building your website out or just so many different things, that YouTube page, you know, which, oh, by the way, there's a very strong argument that you can make that your YouTube page is going to be more important than your website in 5 years. I mean, I think there's a very strong argument for that, for a lot of businesses at least. And so, you know, this is the world that we're headed, but I'm here for it. You're here for it. And we're not going to change those things. And so we got to lean into them really, really hard. But one other thing about this too that I love, Jason, it's like, I'm going to talk to you tonight, right? And because I'm talking to you tonight, I'm expressing myself. I'm getting better at figuring out what it is that I'm trying to say. And that's the beauty of forced cognition. That's the beauty of content production. Because when you produce content, you're forcing yourself to think. In the process of that, you're figuring out what it is you're trying to say. In the process of that, you start to define this thing called IP, which is your intellectual property, which ultimately defines your brand. And from that, you're able to do things like write a book, right? Except now that book has your ingredients, your flair, your personality, your flavor, right? That's a beautiful thing. So if you look at a book like Endless Customers, it's like all these like systems and frameworks in it. You're like, man, did he just come up with this stuff? Yeah, over a lot of stinking conversations where I'm having like this right now, and suddenly something will come out of my mouth and I'm like, you know what? That's actually it. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what has been within me this whole time. And that's a beautiful thing, my man. And so when I'm doing this stuff, when I'm writing that daily LinkedIn post, I'm like, you know what? Nobody interacts with this. That's cool because I'm here for me first, baby. I'm very, very selfish because I am trying to figure out what it is that's in my head that needs to get out.
I love that mindset so much. And it's so perfect because it's one of the questions I wanted to ask where I've worked with enough people that are looking for sales advice that come to me and they're like, I have resistance to sales. I'm trying to figure out sales. I want more sales. I want more customers, et cetera. And the more I've worked with people where my first assumptions has always been, let me give you the tactics. Let me give you the operation. Let me show you how this works. Let me give you tools. And the more I've realized that majority of everyone's struggle is with a mindset. And I'd be curious to see if you have some similar types of interactions with people. It's like they've just heard this conversation, but they're not taking action. And I'm wondering if the mindset side is something that you encounter a lot, and if you have a key thing around mindset that people should embrace if they want to have more success.
I don't know if this is exactly what you asked, but there's something I'm thinking about that I feel like it's important to share. The ones that I see that struggle with sales the most are the ones that are most scared of losing the prospect. Whereas the moment you walk into a deal and you're 100% fine with losing said deal, your authority increases dramatically and your ability to communicate at the highest of levels is just so powerful. Remember a minute ago when I was talking about these self-service tools and how I said, we tell people every day, don't buy a fiberglass pool on our website. Go buy concrete based on what you just said. Like, would I be willing to say that to a prospect to their face? Of course. I sat down with the prospect and they said, I want a pool. And I said, great. And they said, yeah, I know I want it to be 75 feet long. And well, they don't make fiberglass pools that long. I immediately say, perfect. If that's the case, fiberglass definitely isn't for you. That's what we sell. It sounds like you're going to need concrete because you need something that can be as long as you need to be. Concrete is going to be the way to go for you. I don't feel bad about that. Like, that elevates my authority in the eyes of the prospect. You have to be willing to walk up to a line with every prospect that you're going to be so honest that you're not afraid to lose the business. Because this also means that you say things to them that no one has ever said. The greatest compliment, and this is a KPI for the sales teams that I train, by the way. The greatest compliment, I believe, that you can receive as a salesperson is when someone says to you, huh, no one has ever asked me that before. That is the signal. That's the signal that you're making them think and discover in ways that nobody else did up to that point. And you're now going to induce an aha or a light bulb moment. That's what the great salespeople do. But they do that by asking questions that sometimes could feel a little bit, they have friction, they have some pain. Saying point blank, why didn't you take action? Why did you allow that problem to exist so long? That's powerful. Saying at the beginning of a meeting, you know, Mr. Mrs. Customer, whatever you want to say, Mr. Mrs. Jones, before we get started, I want you to know that we're here today to find, let's say, your perfect swimming pool. Now, that's my goal. That also means that we might not be the best fit for you. And I want you to know that if we find that to be the case, it's totally okay. I also want you to know that I'm going to be very honest with you in this conversation. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to be candid because I feel like you deserve that and you would want that. Is that fair with you, Mr. Jones? Yes, that's fair. Now, at the same time, Mr. Jones, I'm going to ask that you're very blunt and honest with me. I'm going to show you some things today, some options, some choices, some of which you're not going to like. And in that moment, guess what you need to say, Mr. Jones? I don't like it. That's exactly right. You need to tell me you don't like it. Because if you don't tell me that, and I assume that you like it, is that good, Mr. Jones? No, that's not good. That's right. So, Mr. Jones, can you commit to being totally open and honest with me, knowing that you will not hurt my feelings? Yes, Marcus, I can do that. Great. You see, we call that the honest agreement. And the honest agreement is the willingness to ask someone up front something that they've never experienced with a salesperson before. But that sentiment of, we're going to be candid, we're going to be real with each other, puts you in a place that no one has reached up to that point because you're getting through that fourth wall. This is why if you're really great at sales, you're going to consistently hear people say to you, you know, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I mean, I've only known you for like 5 minutes, but I just feel like I can tell you this. Where's that come from? You got to say things that are different. You got to go where others haven't gone. And you got to set the right conditions. And that means you're courageous, you're bold, you go in a straight line, You don't hold back. You do it with love and you do it with candor. And remember, you can, and I'd say this to all salespeople, you can be, I really mean this, you can be the most direct and the most loving person in the room at any given time. The two can and should coexist.
Hell yeah. Marcus, I think that's exactly the kind of mindset I wanted people to be aspiring to. I think that's great advice. And God, I usually ask people, what does selling with love mean to them by the end of the episode? You kind of just summarize it well, but I might ask you to give me a soundbite about it. What does selling with love mean to Marcus?
Selling with love to me means that you're more concerned with finding the right thing for the client than necessarily selling your thing. And in the process of that mindset, the client feels safe. And when they feel safe, they trust you. And when they trust you, they buy from you. And when they buy from you, you experience this glorious thing called financial peace. And when you experience financial peace, like me, your wife can go to the grocery store and she doesn't have to look at the prices. And that makes her very happy. And that makes me happy. And that's why I do what I do. So she can go to the grocery store and doesn't have to have anxiety about what that number is going to be when it all rolls through the register, which is exactly where we were 20 years ago. She would have anxiety every time she went to the grocery store. And so together we said, our financial goal is that she can go to the grocery store and not feel that fear. And today she does not.
Marcus, I love our conversations. I'm so glad we got to do this again. And one of the things I wanted to say is that, hey, man, I wanted to make sure we had the best time together, extracting amazing information for people to take action. We spoke about this at the beginning. You feel like we were able to give a lot for people today?
Man, I hope so. If we didn't, everybody, I apologize. But man, I hope we did.
Nah, I think this was fantastic. I had a great time. Thank you for sharing everything. And what I want to invite everyone else is we're going to put some links to some of the discussions we had today so you can go deeper. I want to go check out this price estimator tool. That's something I'm definitely going into.
Yeah, priceguide.ai. She's bad to the bone.
Yeah, I'm going to go grab her. And then the Endless Customers, a proven system to build trust, drive sales, become the market leader. I'm picking up a copy of the book. I'm actually going out to Canada in a couple of weeks, so I'll have it shipped there. I'll be able to pick up the hard copy. Guys, get a hard cover. That's the best way to get a book, guys. That's the real way. So go get that. It is going to be filled with even more information than what we just talked about here to build trust, become that reputable advisor into the market, and really start doing some sales. As the world is changing towards this AI environment, I think you're going to be best prepared. And what I love the most about what we discussed today, Marcus, is like the things you were preaching 20 years ago or 15 years ago around how to put yourself out there, how to show signals to the market, was done for one AI algorithm, which was the Google one. Now it's like, hey, the algorithms are just getting better. So if you've kept doing the right things to give good information to actually help people, you're winning the game. So keep going. And Marcus, please keep writing books, keep being involved, and keep doing the right thing because you're helping everyone in the process. So thank you again for your time.
Man, you're so welcome. And thanks to your listeners as well.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
If you're looking for legit ways to make extra money, you've got to check out The Side Hustle Show. With hundreds of actionable episodes to choose from, you'll learn what's working now from real people making real money, like the Utah mom who built a six-figure business playing video games, or the guy earning $3,000 a month renting out mobility scooters. Online or offline, from Amazon to your own hometown, from YouTube to vending machines, The Side Hustle Show has you and your wallet covered. Subscribe to The Side Hustle Show wherever you're listening to this podcast and increase your earning power today.